visiting with Cody Hansen from Nobles Cooperative Electric, and March is a great time to talk about what goes on behind the scenes at the cooperative, the work the members don't always see, and some very important electrical and farm safety reminders as we head into the busy spring. So let's get to know Cody. So Cody, can you tell us about your role here at the cooperative and what you do day to day?
Sure. So my name's Cody Hansen. I've worked at the co-op here for right around 16 years now. The last three of those have been as our line superintendent. I have a background in the line department, graduated from Mitchell Tech as a power lineman and spent 7 years doing that. And then a few years in between being a lineman and being line superintendent, I took care of our metering and mapping at the co-op. And so yeah, my role on a day-to-day basis is just me taking care of daily stuff that comes in from the members, of things that they might see out on our system, to planning day-to-day jobs that the guys are doing, to doing work planning for the four-year work plan that we set up with our engineering group. So a lot of different things that I get to tackle, and a lot of fun, adventurous things that I get to do on a day-to-day basis that makes the days go by really fast.
That's great. What's something about your job that most members would probably be surprised to learn?
Most people probably think that there's many people at the co-op and don't realize that there's really not a lot of staff that we have here at the co-op, especially in the office. Most co-ops, you know, across the U.S., especially in our area, run fairly lean for our employee count to memberships. So that means, you know, all of our employees wear multiple hats, and I end up wearing, you know, everything from a member services hat in the morning to maybe trying to troubleshoot something for a member over the phone that they're having issues with, an electrical problem out in their system, to, you know, doing stuff as far as helping with work in a substation, of ordering material for a substation upgrade that we might have. So I think the membership just assumes that it's a whole bunch of us here behind the scenes, that if they have to call for an issue about a power quality, that there's a person there that is dedicated for that. And that's not quite the answer. We have people that are very good at it, but a lot of us are cross-trained in doing many different roles here.
That is very true. I'm surprised how many times I always thought that the co-op was bigger than it really was. So let's move on to, there's always a lot of things going on behind the scenes to keep the power flowing. What are some of the everyday things that your team is doing that members may not notice?
So March is a great time of the year that we are normally finished up with our annual line patrol. We have a little bit left on that for, you know, 2026, but on an everyday basis, we've got everything from notes that are called in from our members. You know, this time of the year, the crews, like I said, are doing line patrol. There is, I think, just short of 300 maintenance points that we've marked down thus far on our line patrol for the year. So they prioritize that stuff based on what they see is going to cause an outage in the near future, and trying to attack that and fix those corrections as soon as we can. And then we kind of go through it as methodical as we can, and have the stuff that's, you know, going to have the biggest impact on our memberships, livelihoods, and their electric service. We try and tackle those next, and just try to make sure all the moving parts are always moving in the right direction. And keeping the guys out in the field is a big part of what we do to make sure that we can keep the lights on a daily basis.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit more about line patrol? I know we put out notices about that, but what is it that they're looking for, and what are they doing?
So the guys that are out doing line patrol, it's a driven inspection. They drive every mile of overhead and underground line that we've got on our system. They go up in every yard. They'll inspect meter poles, transformers, and all the equipment that the co-op owns out on our system. They actually put eyes on it once a year. So it could be two guys riding in a truck. We could have days where, you know, it's just one person riding in a truck, but they're looking for everything from a down guy that's missing a reflective yellow marker on it, you know, to hopefully prevent a snowmobile running into it, or a piece of farm equipment from running into it in the spring or fall. To loose bolts, damaged hardware up at the top of the pole. They will mark down damaged wire if there's frays in it from, you know, say a hunter in the area that missed a pheasant when he was out pheasant hunting in the fall and hit one of the wires. Those wires will fray and hopefully not break. So the guys have special sleeves that they put on them to squeeze back that aluminum wire that holds that current carrying capacity on our wire. To fix those and bring those back up to our standards. And then, it's a little bit of everything. They'll find rotten poles, any trees that need to be trimmed, they get marked on this special map that all the crews have, and kind of any major attention issues, as well as any map corrections that we've got out there of things that they find that our mapping coordinator, Dylan Frecking, can take care of. And in about a day or two, he can get those taken care of and fixed up.
Is there any such thing as a typical day for your line crews?
This time of the year we kind of get into a routine of we're changing poles and doing a lot of maintenance. So this time of the year can be fairly routine. There are definitely days where, depending on what Mother Nature throws at us, we'll start the day changing poles, and like in the next few days here, we're supposed to be having some, you know, rain and potentially 5 to 8 inches of snow this weekend. So depending on what gets thrown at us during the workday, we could go from changing poles to chasing a few outages. So it can be very dynamic. When the guys get to work in the day, they could be doing, you know, just typical repairs, typical pole change outs, but they could get kind of thrown to the fire and end up chasing outages for the rest of the day and into the night sometimes.
So that's an interesting way to lead into kind of the next question is weather. Mm-hmm. What kind of weather and conditions tend to create the biggest challenges for you guys?
Obviously anyone that's been to Southwest Minnesota knows that, you know, there's a lot of wind turbines down here, and why there's a lot of wind turbines down here is because the wind never stops blowing. A calm day down here, I think in most parts of the country, they would consider it just shy of a hurricane force wind. So we battle the wind a lot around here. And in conjunction with the wind, when the weather is kind of in that April, those shoulder months of the year, when the weather and the temperatures are around the 30 to 32 degrees, we get a lot of rain that can't make up its mind whether it wants to be rain or snow, and sometimes it turns into ice. And when that starts to stick to stuff, especially our equipment out in the field with that wind, it can really wreak some havoc. So ice and wind are our two biggest components or two biggest issues out there. We don't see a lot with, you know, winter storms as far as just, you know, large accumulations of snow. We don't have a huge issue with, you know, thickly wooded forests in our area. So that's one thing that we're thankful for. So a lot of those heavy snows really don't affect us with having trees fall on our equipment all that much. But for the most part, it's that wind and ice that really causes the most damage for us.
Well, hopefully the season is done for wind and ice pretty soon, and we'll be heading into the spring field work season. What are some of the biggest electrical hazards farmers should be watching for as they operate the large equipment?
So the biggest hazards, I would say, out there for all of our local farmers, we're about 60% underground and 40% overhead with our system. Obviously, the overhead that they can see when they're out planting and spraying in the fields, or if they're doing some spring tillage if they need to, is the overhead, you know. That's always a given hazard out there. But one thing that we've been trying to preach more of in the last few years is all of our underground equipment. All of our underground boxes, whether it's single-phase pedestals or three-phase pedestals, those junction boxes have primary voltage wires in them. So 7,200 volts is sitting inside of those boxes, just you know, providing electricity to all the members that are on our countryside. So they're painted green. They blend into, you know, the grass and the bushes and trees and stuff that are in some of the road right-of-ways, and they can be, you know, very hard to see sometimes. I wish they were painted like bright yellow or like fire truck red so that, you know, they stuck out like a sore thumb and everyone saw them. But that's not the case. They're, you know, aesthetically appealing to the eye, and you know, they try and blend in with their background. So that causes an issue for farmers, especially if they've gotten different equipment or they have, you know, hired hands that aren't used to running some of their equipment that run into some of those underground boxes. And the biggest thing that we try and tell people is, you know, if you hit something, stay in that vehicle, stay in whatever that piece of equipment is that you're in. Stay in there and call us from a cell phone. Don't try and get out and jump to safety. And just stay there and let us know what the issue is, what the scene is, and call 911 if need be.
Great. So spring is also a time when a lot of people want to clean up ditches and burn weeds, which is part of our rural life. We want to keep our country looking good and keep the weeds at bay. But that can also create some risk around the poles and electrical equipment. What should people keep in mind to stay safe, and when should they notify the cooperative?
As best we can, we like the road ditches looking good and well maintained, well kept up to keep those weeds at bay. The biggest thing is just if you're burning a road ditch and there's poles, try and do your best to build a barrier in between that pole and what you're burning. Try and keep that grass at bay as best you can. Try and do a little bit of pre-planning before you start burning that road ditch. If there's a roll of dirt or something that you can kind of furrow out around those poles, do a little bit of, you know, maybe even pre-burning around those poles to just closely monitor those so that they don't burn up the pole, but just to keep it down into the grass and the weeds and stuff around there. We've had a few of them actually already this spring that, they've burnt up and gotten a few feet up into the pole. They start burning internally in that pole, and it's sometimes really hard to stop once that nice thick treated wood starts to burn. And then the other thing is with a lot of the poles, I have those nice yellow guy markers on them. Those don't stand up to heat because they're made of plastic or a polyethylene or a sort of a plastic that's durable for the elements. But they see any sort of high heat from a grass fire, a road ditch fire, they don't last very long. So as best you can, try and stay away from those and try and keep those things intact because they're there for a reason. They're there for good visibility for the farmers and the other members of the public out there.
I think one thing that's really great about the co-op here is we have several of our linemen that actually are also local firemen, including yourself. What are some of the emergency response experiences that you've helped with in dealing with electrical hazards and fires that kind of tie you together with that community?
Yeah, so there's three of us up here out of the Slayton office that are firefighters. And there's one out of the Worthington outpost that's a firefighter. So we're well adapt to having to deal with emergency situations at work and outside of work as that's kind of our hobby outside of work. And so the biggest thing that we try and focus on when we're out on a scene is just to, as people get, you know, their adrenaline ramps up, depending on no matter what the emergency could be, whether it's a car accident or a house fire, we try and use that training and that expertise that we've got working for the co-op every day as to give a reminder, whoever that incident commander is or whoever that person is charges on scene to, you know, make sure they've got the utilities shut off, whether that's electrical and gas, just the electrical. If we're on the way out to a call and we have information where there could be electricity involved, whether it's our distribution equipment at the co-op, whether it's member-owned equipment or anything else, we try and preach to all the local fire departments, and myself especially, being fortunate enough to get around and do some electric safety demonstrations to some of the area fire departments, is once they know that electricity or that wire is involved, don't hesitate to call us. We want to know as soon as we can so we can get someone dispatched out there to help assist, make the scene safe, and do what we can to make sure that all the fire and EMS personnel go home safe at the end of the day.
That's great. So you brought up the electrical safety demonstrations that we do. Can you tell us more about that, what you do with them, and then how can someone request one?
Yeah, so they can contact the co-op, 800-776-0517, or you can shoot us an email at nce@nobles.coop. So I'm our line superintendent. I take care of all of our kind of scheduling and planning of all the electrical safety demonstrations. It's about an 8-foot tabletop demonstration of a farm site. There's a little house that's set up in it, and then there's overhead and underground distribution lines that are set up. And it's pretty cool. We walk through different scenarios. We can adapt it to all different age groups. We've done anywhere from, you know, toddlers to 5-year-olds to I just did one for Nobles County homeschoolers. And so that was, you know, anywhere from 10-year-olds to teenagers. We've done fire departments, EMS, ambulance services, and even up to like local sheriff's departments. So we can kind of adapt it and focus those topics, or, you know, broaden the topics to what people want to see, what they're going to be exposed to out there in their day-to-day lives, whether that's them going to school or, you know, responding to a fire call or whatever that might be.
Great. So let's move on a little bit to outages. None of us like to talk about outages. You know, we don't really have as many as I remember growing up. But can you walk us through what happens behind the scenes when a power goes out?
Sure. So our whole system, you guys might hear the term smart meters or AMI meters. Our whole system is fully deployed and has been fully deployed since about 2011 with AMI meters. And when one of those AMI meters loses power, it has a special programming in it where it has just a little bit of battery life in it or capacitance built up, and it sends an RF signal back into our base station or our collectors. It sees one of those messages that comes through, and that message gets funneled back into our outage management system. That normally happens within about 64 seconds or roughly a minute. That outage will come back into our outage management system. And during the day, our two dispatchers, one is myself and the other one is Dylan, our metering and mapping coordinator. We get alarms and all sorts of noises that go off back in our war room or back in our operations center. We see those and look at the map. Our map has all sorts of different information on it. All our trucks have automatic vehicle locating in them, or AVL. And so we can normally see an outage come in, look at the map, and determine who's going to be closest to respond to that outage, generally before a member calls in on the phone to notify us that, hey, my lights are out. You know,
it's pretty amazing.
I just wanted to report it. So it's pretty powerful, pretty crazy how fast that we can see an outage come in, try and determine what the device is that's off, how far upstream, how many members are affected by it, generally before anyone calls in on the phone. And granted, we still ask that our members call in. You know, we've all heard the term that technology is great until it doesn't work. It's near perfect what we've got for reporting outages. It works very, very well, and we've had it for 15 years now. So we're well accustomed to the equipment and the technology that we've got, but weird things happen, and we still like to hear from those members if they've got any additional information we can get from them.
And that's also why a lot of times when you're expecting power outages, you want people to keep their cell phones and laptops and stuff charged up, because they can also log in on the website as well as Smart Hub and kind of track outages. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct. So we have a public outage map that's member facing or public facing, and so you can go on our website and report an outage. You can look at that outage map, and it's a zoomed out view at a township level. You know, we don't show necessarily like this street address. Joe Smith is out of power, and this is exactly where the outage is at. That's a security concern for us and the public. So we keep that at a high level, but we still want to push out that information as best we can to our members to keep them informed and keep them aware of what's going on our system.
So a lot of times if their power's out, they can just look on their phone and see there's a bubble of 30 people out in their area, and then they can track it from there.
Yep. Yeah, we try and steer our members to that public outage map as much as we can. You know, in bigger storm situations, or if we have, you know, in the unfortunate circumstance where a substation goes out or a larger outage occurs, I'm notified just through an automated process with our outage management system that, you know, there's an outage in the system, and I keep track of that. As those bigger outages come through, substations or storms, we do put a lot of information out there on Facebook to give additional info of what we have, what we know, and trying to, you know, keep our members aware of what we've got going on and when we can get there, and to try and relay that information as much as we can to be as transparent as we can.
Also, when the co-op switched to Smart Hub, there's now a texting program, which isn't utilized as much as it probably could be, but they can go on to the Smart Hub app and set up for notifications. So if you guys are going to have a planned outage or something, a text message would go to them, and then a text message would also go and let you know when the power is restored, which is actually kind of great if you're at work and you're not at home, and all of a sudden your power's at home off, and you get home and everything's blinking, but you would know ahead of time.
Yep. Yeah, it's a pretty powerful tool that members can sign up for. We encourage anyone that's got Smart Hub to sign up for that notification. If you know you do go in and report an outage on Smart Hub, that note or that information that you provide goes right back into our outage management system. So it's the dispatchers here during the day, Dylan and myself, that see that message. Our after-hours dispatching service, we utilize Sioux Valley Energy out of Coleman, South Dakota. So it's another, you know, distribution co-op, our next-door neighbor to the west. They also use the same outage management system that we've got. So it works really, really well to relay that info back to us. You know, if there's something planned during the day, we can send messages out just to keep people informed of what we can.
So every once in a while, you'll hear of a flicker or just a small outage. What are some of the most common causes of those little flicker outages?
Yeah, it's a varying cause for a lot of those. A lot of it times it's, you know, an animal. If there's a tree limb that's broken off and fallen on the line, something like that could be anything to like a lightning strike. And a lot of times the cause of those outages is it's just a temporary outage, or something that's gotten up there and tripped the line off. We have what we call like sectionalizing devices out on our system. We try and design our system with our engineering group to minimize the amount of members that go off in the event a fault occurs on our lines. And one of those pieces of equipment is called an oil circuit recloser. And what that'll do is it will sense a fault on the line and shut the power off just momentarily, wait for that fault to clear or whatever it's programmed to, turn that power back on and do that a few times before, okay, it realizes that there's a permanent fault out there, and then it'll shut the power off and leave it off. So as best we can, we try and coordinate those devices out on our system to try and minimize the impact of our members having sustained outages, but just due to the nature and how the equipment is designed, there's some temporary or momentary outages that come from that.
And I recall several people kind of talking about critters. Squirrels and raccoons think that the poles are trees, and especially squirrels can jump from a tree to a pole pretty easy. But you do have some critter guards up to kind of help with that, but there's still a lot of squirrel issues, is that right?
Yep. Yeah, as best we can, we'll try and go through and install squirrel guards with bushing covers on top of transformers. We also have, you know, different animal guard that can go on cut out or a fuse that's mounted on the top of each transformer. Any work that we're doing in a substation now, we're installing, you know, from top to bottom as much equipment as we can. We're installing insulated cover up in there, so if there's a raccoon that would get in there, you know, it allows them to climb around for the most part on some stuff and not blow anything up, and to hopefully let him safely get back down and get out of our substation. And so, yeah, as best we can, we try and cover up what we can and still let our guys do what they need to do when one finds its way into where it shouldn't.
Well, that sounds great. I think we're going to get here to the end here. Can you tell us what your most rewarding part of your job is?
I think the biggest thing is just knowing that that I and like my team is a part of something bigger than just ourselves. Knowing that at the end of the day, you've kept the lights on to help the local community flourish and grow, and just being that kind of constant good sense in the community of just being there in the background when help is needed, we're there. And when the lights go out, they know that we're on it, we're doing our best that we can to get it back on as safely and quick as we can.
Great. Well, Cody, thanks for taking the time to visit today and everything that you do and the entire operations team to keep the power flowing for our members here in Southwest Minnesota. As a quick reminder, if your school, business, or community group wants to schedule a free electrical safety demonstration by Cody or one of our linemen, just give us a call, 800-776-0517. You can go to nobles.coop, which is www.nobles.coop, or send us an email at nce@nobles.coop. Any closing thoughts today, Cody, or is there anything that we didn't ask that you think our members should know?
No, I think... I would close it out with the same way I close out all of my electrical safety demonstrations, is that, if you're ever in a situation and electricity is involved, whether you're in a vehicle, stay in that vehicle, use that cell phone that you've got that most people carry on their selves all the time. Call in for 911, call us for help. And in any non-emergency situations, if there's a question, we're your local expert with electricity. Call us, no matter what, how big of an issue it is or how small of an issue is you think it is. We're always here. Our phones are always on, and don't hesitate to reach out.
Great. Thank you very much.